This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is going to be a fascinating episode of the PowerCast. We'll be talking to Ryan Skinner. He's co-author of a new book called Skinwalker Ranch, No Trespassing, True Stories and Secret Files with D.L. Wallace. And a little bit later, we'll be hearing from a couple of our listeners, of course, our old friend Gogs Mackay, and another guy who uses the name Ryan, but we'll call him by his middle name. He's a regular in our forum, so we don't have the multiple Ryans like we have the multiple Chris's that occur every so often. Before we get started with Ryan, I wanted to mention something we have as a forum topic that may interest a lot of people, especially in light of the fact that last week we had Kevin Randall on the show. And he mentioned for a bit the MJ-12 controversy. So somebody starts a thread in our forums mentioning Bill Moore as to whether he's responsible for a good portion of UFO history. Certainly he's one of those responsible for the early revelations about Roswell and then MJ-12. But what else, Chris?
I mean, you know, Bill Moore is he's just an intriguing character. He shows up in all the wrong places at the right time. And, of course, his big mea culpa in the late 80s, at the Las Vegas MUFON conference really dropped a lot of jaws. And he's really been kind of persona non grata ever since. I have not seen his name really relating to any sort of current activity. We do know one person that's been in touch with him, but, you know, he's literally dropped off the map. I'm not even sure where he's located now.
I know Jim Moseley was in touch with him, but since Jim Moseley's not in touch with anybody anymore, unless he communicates with us from the afterlife, where do you go with that? I don't know. I think other than Roswell, I can't think that he had all that great an influence.
Well, yeah, he was involved in the Benowitz affair,
of course.
I think, which is a very important case, number one. And number two, his involvement is rather nefarious. He really helped AFOI, the Air Force Office of Intelligence, to inadvertently drive Paul Benowitz crazy.
Well, and that too. But I'm thinking in terms of major UFO developments that have existed for a long time and have impacted UFO history. Roswell, yes. Benowitz is a secondary issue. MJ-12.
Well, the Dulce base gene
sure.
is all derived from that original.
That's true.
Phone call that Benowitz made to Kirtland. So
sure, but is that something we still really worry so much about? We talk about Dulce occasionally. We've had shows upon it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a major issue of UFO history. Roswell is, but Roswell research was picked up by a lot of other people, so whatever Bill Moore did, anything he may have produced has been independently confirmed or not confirmed. So I don't know. I guess he had an impact to some degree because of the things he was engaged in the 1980s. But on the long term, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's a big subject and it's worldwide. You can't really just look at American cases exclusively and hope to, you know, figure anything out. It's a worldwide phenomenon. And Bill Moore's involvement in the Roswell incident, I think, could be likened to some sort of possible involvement in disinformation, similar with the Dulce story. But again, it's a huge subject, and I don't really see his role as being, you know, historic in any sense of the word. Of course, Roswell and Dulce are part of the lexicon now and real buzzwords out there. There's a lot of misinformation, I think, floating around out there about these cases, which were balls that kind of were started rolling by Bill Moore and others. Richard Doty, of course, with the Dulce material. Stanton Friedman, obviously, was involved with the original contact of Jesse Marcel. And He seemed to have glommed on to some interesting scenarios back in the late 70s through the 80s. But like I said, since 88, 89, he's disappeared.
Well, and then, of course, we were looking at another subject here, and we're not going to get into it this week. But we did pass the June 24th anniversary, 67 years since Kenneth Arnold had his sighting. Kind of wondering here, if Kenneth Arnold's sighting had not been reported or given the amount of publicity it did receive, where would the UFO field be? It's interesting.
Yeah.
Would it have been just a sideshow? Would we be here doing this or maybe doing something where you can actually earn a living? Let's get to our guest, Ryan Skinner. You have done a lot of ongoing investigations into the Skinwalker Ranch. Why do you keep on keeping on?
Because the stories keep pouring in from the ranch and the ranch area. You mentioned a lot of historic cases that have come and passed, and this really is a story that's still being written. I think that part fascinates me. We have a hot spot right now that's active, and it's producing more and more unusual phenomena. Every time I check my email, I get a new story, so it fascinates me.
Every time you check your email?
Once a week. I get a new story about once a week. The forum's constantly updated with something going on out there. And my own experiences that I've mentioned in the past on the show, I've had my own encounters that have confirmed the high level of oddities going on out there.
Yeah, and it's not just the ranch either, as Ryan points out in his new book. The Uinta Basin and that whole area is just filled with all sorts of bizarre occurrences, most of which don't ever see the light of day outside of the local region there.
Yeah, the book really is titled Skinwalker Ranch. I think that's kind of where I cut my teeth, was on that subject. However, I've expanded it to include the stories really of the whole Four Corners region. But really trying to fixate a little bit or narrow or target in on the ranch and the surrounding properties and surrounding Uinta Basin. But that region, for whatever, has some theories, but the region in general is a plethora of experiences and a wealth of stories still going on.
Ryan, let's go into that background. Why do you think so many strange things are focused in this particular region?
Well, initially starting out, I was just fixated on the ranch in general. Just, you know, the ranch is the hot spot. And the assumption is there's some sort of portal on the ranch, which there most likely is some sort of rift in time or space or multidimensional wormhole going on out there. But the more I delved into the topic and the more people I've connected with, there's multiple portals that are out there. That are all potentially interconnected, but they're all kind of housed in this Four Corners region. And, boy, gee, what was the story? I got a little off track there. What was the question?
Well, it was about what is there about that area that attracts it, but you're explaining about the portals.
Oh,
this is almost like the TV show, I've mentioned this before, Primeval. Ever see that? A British TV show where they had these anomalies or portals that would appear spontaneously, allowing transportation back and forth. In that case, it was a time travel shtick, I think. But
yeah, dinosaurs.
Exactly. Always dinosaurs. And it was always a different dinosaur every week. You wondered why only one dinosaur or one family would venture forth, and the following week, a different family. It was not the same family just coming back every week.
I don't think they had the budget to do multiple animals. That's pretty expensive.
Well, you know what it is. Look what it costs to make Jurassic Park. In the movies, you're doing a TV show.
Sure.
You've got 1/200th the budget, if that. So you can't do it. But seriously speaking, Ryan. Like,
what's unique about that region, and there is one unique thing about that region, is it was the stomping ground of the Pueblo and the Anasazi Native Americans. And also the basket weavers as well. That was their home region. That was their territory. And for whatever reason, that area is of all across America, in my opinion and my experiences, there are multiple portals in that region and similar occurrences with what's going on out there with not only the Skinwalker, but UFO sightings within their territory. And that's the common bond that I'm coming up with, that perhaps something happened in ancient time where they tapped into, I mean, this is all speculation, and I do not speculate in the book, But perhaps they did tap into some sort of spiritual doorway or open something up that's still open to this day.
Ryan Skinner is joining Gene and Chris. More to come. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Ryan Skinner joining us. He is involved in a new book called Skinwalker Ranch, No Trespassing. And we're discussing the window areas or portal areas that seem to attract an unusual number of strange events in and around the Four Corners region. One of our listeners, and we're going to call him Shane because his name is also Ryan, is listening in, and he may have a question to drop in every so often. A little bit later, we'll hear from Gogs McKay. So, Shane, welcome aboard. And he has no response. Shane.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, just tell our listeners again, what's the name that you use in our forum so they recognize you?
Well, it's R-Y-G-Y. It's kind of an odd name. I don't know how really to say it. R-Y-G-Y-W-A. Anyway, you can call me Shane.
It's a Rigiwa.
Yeah.
Okay, the odd Rigiwa is there listening. He'll have some input. Okay, Ryan, I want to get back to these window areas. Now, however they emerged, how wide in terms of square miles is Four Corners? Can either you or Chris define that?
Well, it depends on whose definition you want to go by. Of course, anytime you hear the word Baskerweaver, Anasazi, are all considered by the Hopi Indians to be ancient Hopi. And Anasazi is actually the Diné word or the Navajo word for the ancient Hopi, which means ancient enemy. So it's kind of an insult if you're ever in mixed company and have a Hopi around you. Don't ever use the word Anasazi.
Of course, you can't say Redskins either.
No. And also, the Hopi word for Diné translates to head pounder. So I'm not even sure what that word is. I'm not quite sure I'd ever use it because I do visit the Navajo reservation quite a bit on my job. But the Four Corners area, if you look at it from the Navajo description, it is encompassed by the four cardinal mountains, so the four sacred mountains, which would be Mount Taylor, which is just west of Albuquerque, would be the mountain of the south. Blanca Peak up in the San Luis Valley is considered the mountain of the east, which is the place where all thought originates in the Diné tradition. Above Durango is Hesperus, which is the mountain of the north. And then the San Francisco Peaks just up the road from me here outside of Flagstaff would be considered the sacred mountains of the west. Now, any of that land that's encompassed within those four cardinal point mountains would be considered the Four Corners. When you get up into the Uinta Basin, it gets a little bit more tenuous up there. I don't think the Hopi really spent much time up there. But that, again, is one of those few areas in the country where you had regional groups of Indians overlapping. You had some of the Great Basin Indians, obviously, the Ute, the Paiute. You had other nomadic Indians passing through there from the northern Rockies. The Shoshone, I think, came down. You had Indians coming all the way from out west, the Paiutes and others. And possibly there were forays up into the area by the Hopi and some Diné. But the Diné, of course, were late arrivals. The Utes had been there for thousands of years, or many hundreds of years, let's put it that way. And the Diné arrived about 100 years before the Spanish. So there's one theory that suggests that they were chased out of Mongolia by Genghis Khan in the 12 and 1300s and arrived in the southwest in the 1400s, 1500s.
Well, I'm trying to understand here, though. Do we see here, for example, that the presence of so many Indians in this region is what attracted or created the existence of these portals?
But before Ryan answers that, I'd like to chime in here a little bit. That area was not really, you didn't see that many people there. It's really a difficult country to live in, especially south into the lower Uinta Basin and parts of around the San Rafael Swell. You're going to see most of your activity around the rivers. And once you get in between those rivers, it gets really hot and austere and dry out there. So as far as the portals being created by the Indians, I don't think that that would be the case. I think they would stumble on these places, observe them, and either avoid them or maybe the medicine man or the elders or the ones in the medicine societies might attempt to try to utilize whatever types of activity was going on there or try to communicate with it. But for the most part, these places were spooky and they tended to shy away from them. What have you found in your research, Ryan?
There is some truth to what you told me. I have spoken with several tribal members from the Ute tribe, and they've relayed to me that one way of finding these portals is some of the older books would actually lay out the trails that were taken by some of the ancient tribal members. And based on those trails, you look where they deviate significantly. And the theory is that they're trying to walk around these portal areas. They're taking a left turn or a 90-degree angle right where they know forbidden land would be or where one of these portals might be opening up. And they kind of clued me in or hinted to me that if I really want to find these, you'll really study these old maps of the routes that they would take and look for that deviation. On the other hand, I've also heard a lot of stories of especially the practice of creating a skinwalker and some of the ancient religious practices were not necessarily all altruistic and positive. There was, and this is not the case in general of the religion, but there really was some horrific things that had happened. There was some what we might consider nowadays, you know, black arts or witchcraft, like what I guess modern Western culture would label as possibly witchcraft-like practices. And I don't know if, again, it's speculation, if that was worked in conjunction with what Chris had said, discovering one of these portals and working with it and somehow tying into the oddness that would come out of it, or if that actually spawned the portal itself and these things that were coming out of it. That part's unknown. But I do know there was some sort of recognition by the tribes, or again, I don't know for sure. I can't say that. But from my studies, I'm finding a correlation between these ancient tribes and their recognition of these portals, their acknowledgement, recognition, and use of them. One interesting thing on the ranch itself that I don't know if it wasn't really pointed out too much in my first book, it's discussed a little bit in the second book, is there are several structures, ancient structures, right on Skinwalker Ranch and the surrounding properties. They appear to be like Pueblo type mud and brick type structures that have just been ravaged by time and the elements. And I always thought that was kind of fascinating that that may be evidence of one of these ancient tribals' practice in that area.
Well, maybe they're monitoring
that immediate area.
Maybe they were monitoring activity. Just like Bigelow's watchtower.
Yeah, exactly. Now we got Bigelow's Tower built there.
All right, so if I travel to the Four Corners, and I've never been there, I know that Chris considers me to be a hermit. I do get around occasionally. Occasionally I leave the Starship's lair, and I go out and about, and I try to discover things. And I go to this region, anywhere there, would I feel, would I sense anything different? Or just be whatever it is. We'll figure this out more. We have Ryan Skinner joining us. We call him Rigiwa from our forums, or Shane. Lurking in the background, you'll hear from Gox and Mackay shortly. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk. For every political persuasion, we are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you, yes, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute
absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC Stew, and rolled oats. 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Ryan Skinner, I phrase this complicated question. So I get into the four corners anywhere where all this stuff is happening. Would I sense anything strange?
Well, it depends on you as a individual, what you're kind of, what the purpose is and what you're seeking from your, I guess, kind of corny, but from your life journey. I guess if you're out there as a disbeliever, you're going to remain a disbeliever going into it. And if you're searching for somewhat of a mystical experience or an enlightening experience, I believe you're going to find it if you dedicate the time and just start. If you're in that Four Corners region, look where the city is and look where the desert is. The less houses you see, just keep walking in that direction. Spend some time out there. you're gonna run into something fascinating that'll really blow your mind.
And it also, I think, depends on your level of sensitivity as well. Certain people have natural tendencies to be more sensitive to subtle energies. Other people are like walking megaliths. They you could bounce things off them, and then it would barely phase them. So if you're a bonehead and thick-skulled and you are one of the millions of people in this country walking around in a state of waking coma, no, you're not going to feel anything. But if you have any sort of sensitivities at all, it would be impossible for you to go to any one of thousands of spots and not feel something.
I said I couldn't agree more with what he just said. It would almost be impossible if you are somewhat intuitive. There's something almost magical about that region, and I don't live in the area. I live in Wisconsin, and each time I'm out there, it's like being in another world. Really,
the Uinta Basin is creepy. I mean, it's spooky. There are places there that I really felt uncomfortable, and I'm not afraid of pretty much much of anything. But I'll tell you, I went down there, and I was looking over my shoulder in a couple of spots out there. I've done a lot of fossil hunting and other things, tramping around there, unrelated to the Sherman Ranch. But there are areas that really kind of creep you out, I must say.
All right, that's what I was getting to. There's electricity in the air. Something creeps you out. Do we assume these portals are there full-time, or do they just appear occasionally, and that's when you get these strange events? Can we make any assumption like that?
Are you asking me or?
Either one, but you, Ryan.
My belief, my experience, and from the stories I've collected, is that these things operate somewhat on a cycle. They're cyclical. They're not necessarily always open. Your probability of this, again, this is just my personal. I don't have all the answers. I want to state that immediately, but I've collected a lot of stories. I'm seeing some similarities. I'm starting to connect the dots over after all these years, and we are seeing I am seeing a correlation between the time of day. It seems to be 8 o'clock to around 11 o'clock at night. That the activity seems to peak. Also, right around 4 in the morning until about 5:30 in the morning. So almost like a window open, a door opens and closes around that time. The early fall seems to also, for whatever reason, the activity seems to peak around that time. And from what I've heard from multiple sources, including some of Bigelow's own people, is every 10 years, you know, the activity really spikes up and then seems to die down to a trickle. But it's not true that the door, you know, it's as if the door is just left open just enough for the light to creep through at night. I mean, there's always something coming through this thing, but when it's fully open, it's all hell's breaking loose. It's like you're in a H.P. Lovecraft kind of story.
Right. So looking at this 10-year, potential 10-year cycle, we should be going into a cycle right now.
I'm thinking around 2016, 2017. I'm kind of...
Well, he started... Yeah. He got on the ranch when? In 1995, I think, wasn't it?
I thought he bought it in 96, but they learned about it in 95.
Yeah. Well, with the next couple of years, they'll be interesting up there.
And I started going there in 2006 when I had, you know, my most dramatic encounters.
Right.
And it has died down quite a bit over the last few years. I've still had some amazing experiences, but nothing as dramatically as intense as what was going on in 2006, 2007.
Yeah. Well, and a resurgence in 2009. You had the Dogman encounter up in Fort Duchesne, I think in December 2009.
Now, you've gone to some of this before, but looking back at it now, in 2014, just very briefly, what do you think is the most intriguing, frightening, outrageous encounter you had?
Sorry, Gene, were you asking me?
Yes. They're all directed to you, Ryan, except for Chris.
Because I heard Shane asking a question in the background. I didn't know if...
Okay, well, after this, Shane, if you got a question, let's ask it after this. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay. The most dramatic experience I had, is that the question?
Yes.
Yeah, I detailed that a little bit on the last show. By far and large, it's one night I was... You know, the cat's really out of the bag. I don't have to dance around the issue. I have trespassed on the ranch and surrounding properties. I really don't recommend anyone else doing that for a lot of various reasons. First of all, you don't want to be, you know, you're going to have a real bad day if security catches you. You're going to lots of problems that I don't even want to get into. But let me ask you
a question just to interrupt, and you can be brief about it because you've mentioned it before. Security ever catch you?
That's one of the topics I can't talk about. I know of another researchers will say that did have a close encounter with security that resulted in guns being pulled and people being chased throughout the night. And we're talking, Chris has been out there in that desert. And that's not a place, it's like you're on it's a real extremely rocky, dangerous kind of terrain. And for anyone to have full gear, a researcher out there with full gear, backpack, cameras, tripods, everything else, to be running through the middle of the desert with an ex-military guard with a loaded gun chasing after that researcher, it's kind of make for a bad night real quick.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend
that. And that's the reality. That's reality of what you're doing out there. I mean, this is no different in some ways than crossing the line over at Area 51. I mean, it sounds like a fun party or whatever to catch the UFOs and to spend your night out there. But the reality is, you know, if you get caught, you're going to be in jail, and the process of being caught, you could be pretty physically manhandled in the process.
Now, is this like 24 where they capture somebody and they beat the hell out of them?
Yeah, that's exactly the assumption. That's what I've heard actually from the guards themselves that I've talked to off. I mean, not in the act of being pursued that I don't know about anyway. But I have talked to the guards during the daylight at the fence, and they're itching for a reason. You know, they sit there all night. They're not paid there for the. Well, they are paid for the paranormal and to document it, but they're not. They're mostly interested in doing what they're paid to do and what they've been trained to do through the military, and that's, you know, catch somebody doing something wrong, knock them to the ground, and cuff them up, and who knows what.
Yeah, that would make the tour.
They're looking for a reason to pull that pepper spray and to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, those guys are bored out of their gourds up
there.
They're
bored. So. That's right.
So any sort of excitement is going to be a highlight of their week or whatever 2 week period that they I think spend up there at a time.
They don't have the pail of water to waterboard you, do they?
Not that I'm aware of.
All right. We don't like getting into waterboarding.
Well, how about the cowboy way where they caught the guy and they trussed him up and then had a hungry baby calf approach him as they pulled down his pants?
Oh. Wacky
horrible.
People.
Wacky well, that's people. Wacky pee-pee, definitely. But I don't...
Well, I don't want to get into that. We're getting very grisly here. This is not the grisly cast. This is...
Hey, it's a grisly place, man. And Ryan, out of everybody that I've talked to, has probably spent more time up there than anyone else. And you know, there are certain areas I know that Ryan does not want to get into because it gets kind of dicey. But in the book, I've noticed, Ryan, that you've exposed some documents in there that I find very intriguing, including the document on the 2009 report that I mentioned prior about the Dogman.
You know what? Let's stop it right here, and let's go into what documents we're talking about in that book. Ryan Skinner joins us. We have Shane lurking. He may have a question or two. We'll get to that. And Gogs Mackay joining us shortly with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing all new Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary new way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-721-4255 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is a modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. And more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-721-4255. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. You won't see this limited-time offer on TV. It's a radio exclusive. 1-800-721-4255. 1-800-721-4255.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, in Skinwalker Ranch, it's private property. You don't want to be caught by these ex-military types who work for Blackwater or something over there. They haven't hired Blackwater, have they, Ryan?
I know they hired directly out of the Air Force. You had to have a top secret clearance. A lot of these guys were military police in the Air Force. Some of them were stationed at nuclear silos. But I've also heard in recent years that they may have switched to Blackwater, to one of those the same firms that the government uses to hire their security, possibly as a result of myself. I mean, I think there may have been a lot of loose lips.
Well, that's where you get all your information.
That's right. If that's the case, you know, that would change the game dramatically. That's the rumor I've heard.
In your book, you focus a lot, of course, about the background of Robert T. Bigelow and the fact that he's so much involved in aerospace and his involvement in the Skinwalker Ranch. But he made his money from hotels, right?
Yeah, pretty smart about it. Real estate, you know, he's in the market at a good time. I think Chris would probably be able to explain his background better than I would. Bigelow Suites. I think he sold the chain. Did pretty well on that.
Yeah, the budget suites.
But I get the impression his targets were a lot more lofty. You know, he was always looking to space the entire time, so it was more of a launching pad. Bigelow Suites was for his aerospace endeavors, and that's what he's doing right now.
Now, just to focus on this more, he no longer owns Skinwalker, does he?
He definitely still owns Skinwalker.
Oh, he does. I heard he didn't.
Yeah. He has contracted with the government in the past for Skinwalker, but he is the owner of Skinwalker. I've even checked with the realtors recently. And Bigelow Properties is the current owner of the property. So,
you know, when I look at his bio on Wikipedia, Robert Bigelow, it's strange. For example, it says, as of 1965, Bigelow was married and had one child. So what has happened in the intervening years? This guy is mysterious.
Does kind of have a blacked out past, doesn't he?
Yeah, it'd be great to get him on the show.
Love that.
That's your assignment should you decide to accept it, Chris O'Brien, yeah. To get Robert
Bigelow. We'll have George Knapp along to hold his hand.
Don't think he needs anyone to hold his hand.
I'd be tuning in for that.
Did you find out anything in researching this book about Bigelow that we didn't know or be surprised about?
The focus is not on Bigelow in this book. The focus is really the stories of the region.
Right, but the reason I mentioned that...
And the documents themselves.
Let's talk about these documents. Okay, how did you get these documents?
Again, a topic I can't discuss. I definitely can't discuss over the phone or anything. I'm sorry, but...
Okay, so you got the documents. What do they reveal?
I guess the mindset of Bigelow and Company in regards to Skinwalker Ranch. You know, the company's policy, what they've learned, what they know, what they don't know. A little bit of insight into what they're... Not so much, but what they're looking for.
Okay, so what can you tell us? Having gotten these documents, okay, what are they looking for? What are they expecting? What do they reveal in these documents?
You guys mentioned the Dogman case. I mean, what was your question regarding that, or what was your interest in that report, which is fascinating?
Well, it's just, you know, from my understanding, again, this is second, third, even possibly fourth hand, but that a team, a duo of private investigators was hired to interview witnesses of a particular event that occurred, I think, December 2009, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just going on sheer memory here. But from what I can recall, this, humanoid appearing creature with a dog face, almost like something out of an Egyptian hieroglyph of Anubis or something, yes, was seen dashing around the Fort Duchesne area where the actual reservation part of this scenario is located, and in terms of the housing on the res there. And at one point it was seen leaping from rooftop to rooftop, making impossible leaps of 20 to 30 feet between buildings on the rooftops. And I guess once the word of this got out, Bigelow hired, or at this point, I'm not sure. I think it would be NIDS was long gone by this point. But this team of private investigators was hired to interview witnesses. I think Colm Kelleher was involved in some of these interviews.
This was during the NIDS time.
Yeah, no, this 2009. NIDS was defunct for five years. And you know, they were cross-referencing descriptions. Did it have what did its ears look like? What did its eyes look like? And they were cross-referencing witness accounts.
I'm sorry, I was referring to BASS, the new organization. Yeah, NIDS became BASS, whatever. So yeah, they still had the organization. They still had the researchers and the.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, Bigelow still has a presence there, but. But he did hire some outside ringers from the information that I was privy to, and these guys went around, and I think with the help or cooperation of the UNO, the Native Police Force there, and I think actually that some of the Fort Duchesne and Uinta Ute Indian officers actually were witnesses as well to this particular creature. And this is an example, again, and Ryan, I think you do a good job pointing out in your book that it seems as though the ranch may be kind of an epicenter for a lot of this activity. It's not exclusive to the ranch. I mean, there's stuff going on all around that area. And
this occurred in the city of Fort Duchesne. This is on the
rooftop. Yeah, right in town.
A couple miles away. Yeah, in the middle of town, which the town isn't that big, as you know. But so this was not on the ranch.
Right. And there's loads of reports that go all the way back into the late 60s. The great Utah UFO display by Professor Frank Salisbury and Junior Hicks has a lot of very interesting sighting reports, cattle mutilation reports, and other types of anomalous activity that is spread all around that area. We're talking, you know, a good 100 square mile area easily. And there does seem to be a bit of a concentration there around the Fort Duchesne area, just south of there. But again, I think you do a good job in the book, Ryan, of pointing out that we shouldn't be too focused on the ranch because, you know, this is a larger scenario. Do you want to address that a little bit?
The larger scenario aspect of it? The story's almost more regional. The story's almost, you read the first book by George Knapp and Colm Kelleher, and it's just absolutely mind blowing. It's fascinating how bizarre and unique some of those stories are. I mean, I think UFO folklore hasn't even, I think that really took us in a different direction in regards to UFO folklore, and that it's not this traditional Whitley Strieber type communication type abductions and probings or whatever. There's a whole slew of characters that could potentially be involved in one incident. And the more I started gathering stories from the locals, their stories were even more, in some cases, more dramatic than the stories in that first book, which is Hunt for the Skinwalker. And the further I went out, there was a surplus of stories, and it didn't necessarily have to be on the ranch or even neighboring the ranch necessarily. It just had to be in that Uinta Basin area. And almost as if a fence, you know, the mountains create that basin, and it seems like as if beyond that fence, it really kind of trickles off a little bit.
Hey, Gene, this is Ryan here.
Sure.
Shane, I'm sorry. We got two Ryans here. You can call me Shane. I had just one general question for Ryan. And it always piqued my interest to find out or learn, have you heard of any activity with security personnel and unmarked vehicles, etc., that has taken place outside of the Bigelow Ranch? Because, you know, I had a friend once who went out there and on a public road, on a public highway, it wasn't really a highway, but he was, you know, surrounded by armed guards on a public road. And some of this, do you think there's any overreach going on here where some of these security guards get a little too, they start to, you know, there is no check and balances here.
I mean, that's why what I'm saying is it's dangerous to be out there. I agree with you. I mean, their home base is in Nevada. These guys are hundreds and hundreds of miles away from any sort of employer or oversight. You know, they're on their own.
Oh, boy. Let's get into more of this in our next segment. We have Ryan Skinner. We're joined also by Shane. A little bit later, we'll hear from Gogs Mackay with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Henry Ford once said, a man who stops advertising to save money is like a man who stops a clock to save time. Alex Castle here, the National Account Executive at GCN. I have the ability to customize a national radio campaign based on your budget while targeting your demographic. Contact me to find out how national radio can help your business be more profitable at 877-996-4327, extension 177. That's 877-996-4327, extension 177, and help me help you bring your business to the next level.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.